The new Star series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galantine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Critics say you won't be able to tear your eyes away. Now, that is a good series, if that's the case.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
Hello and welcome to Two Teeth in a Pod with myself, Teddy Mellencamp.
Tamara Judge.
You know, we could be doing, now that we've hit, I don't even know what it is, like 150 episodes, we'll never once do that pause correctly. No. We're going to. Get us to
welcome to Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
We need a professional.
We need a professional to just do it so we don't have to do it.
Well, you know what, iHeart? Bring in the big guns.
We need your dad to do it.
Hey, welcome to Teddy and Cameras.
Camera.
This is how much we know. It's our producer just texted us. Your intro music already has it in.
Oh my God. So we don't even have to say that.
The fact that shows how much we're listening to ourselves, you know, which I actually
should. Oh, I don't. I cannot. To the podcast. I can't.
No,
I don't like watching myself. I don't like hearing myself. I don't like myself.
The anxiety. Yeah. I mean, the anxiety that comes from after. I feel like after I just closed this Zoom, I closed that chapter of whatever shit talking I just did, and I have to move on from it. I'm sorry who I have affected in the process.
No, you're not.
Oh my gosh.
Halloween. I had a knock on my door, trick-or-treaters. And as this woman comes in, I can't remember her name. She's like, oh my God, I got to tell you a story. And I'm like, okay. She goes, my mom listens to your podcast and religiously. And she goes, I don't. I'm more of a Heather McDonald fan. And I went, oh, okay. And then she goes, you know that time Teddy Mellencamp was talking about the Uber driver that picked her up from the San Juan Capistrano? And I go, yeah. That was my husband. My husband.
No.
He lives around the corner from you. He lives inside your gates. And I'm like, okay. She goes, we're not married. And so she unleashed on me and she told me a bunch of things that I will not say. But it was very funny. And as she's telling me this, I get a trick-or-treater and a little cute little brunette girl goes, Tamara! And I go, Bella?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Bella? What are you doing here? Because for some reason, I thought she was at your house trick-or-treating because I saw you guys all in the same costumes and
all
that.
She was with us over the weekend and then went to her mom's Monday morning.
I'm just surprised she recognized me.
Are you kidding? That, like, you know how they are. They like, especially at that age, they pretend they don't know who anybody is. Like, just like yesterday when you were on, you and I are on the phone and your daughter gets in the car and she's like, ugh, mom, are you on the phone with Teddy?
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Oh my God. She's getting over it because if I'm not filming, I'm either on the phone talking about filming. She's like, oh, I'm so sick of this. I'm like, well, guess what? Guess what, everybody? You know what today is?
Final day.
The finale. We're done.
Woohoo. Well, you know, I'm really happy that Tamara and I were supposed to go work together in Vegas today, but then she has the final of OC. So she
Final showdown.
So I'm going to be there tequila tearing it up myself with Patron.
Oh,
partying to Tiesto all night.
Oh.
So can
we talk about this a little bit? Like, where are you going? What are you doing? What, you didn't give me all the details. I just said, nope, can't do that day.
Oh yeah. I am going to Las Vegas with It's Alto Patron Tequila, which, you know, there is no drink that I love more than tequila. I mean, I was considering, should I wear my Tequila Terry bathing suit to the club?
Yeah. Like a pool party or like club?
It's nighttime. When this was the only hard thing about making the decision to go do this, I was like, what's the start time? They're like 8 p.m. I was like, what's the finish time? And they were like 3 a.m. And I was like, holy mother of, I'm going
to
be doing
that's what time you go to bed. And that's the time you get up.
I know. 3 a.m. is my wake up time.
Yeah.
So because you're not going with me, Edwin's going with me. I'm like, you're going to have to put your big girl pants on and we're going to have to go. And
we're
going to
have fun. Damn it.
We are going to have fun whether you like it or not.
And you're going to have a drink.
And you're going to have 62 drinks.
Yes. Trust me. I'm going to make you.
Yes. But at least we do have some reasons to celebrate because I got the news from the doctors yesterday that my lymph nodes are clear. So they took out those three lymph nodes and all three of them were clear, which is huge.
Don't ask me why I have this on my desk. I don't know.
But yeah, my lymph nodes are clear. I go back in for my next surgery because I do still have, I don't know. They said it's so rare to have this many melanomas, but they still have to remove 5 more melanomas from my back. Which
What is the total?
I don't even know. What are we like on like 10, 11? I mean, five
Teddy.
More. I know. So five
so wait,
more.
Wait. I didn't realize this when you posted this and we didn't talk about it yesterday. So you already had 5 to 7 removed.
Yes.
Right? And then you had, when you had the surgery, you had more biopsies.
Biopsy. They just took a bunch of little spots because the problem with mine was they don't, the only one, so far of all of the ones that they've biopsied, the only one that has come back benign is the one that actually looks like a mole. So when they
what do the other ones look like? Just so people
white
know.
White circles.
Okay, so my melanoma was a brown little pin dot. Would have never known it, would have never seen it had I not gotten a massage in Iceland.
See, so that's why it's like you have to check on everybody. It looks different because they were like, what the heck? Even though all of her others have been white with just this little like brown dot in the middle of the white, we're going to just check the mole that's in the adjacent area to what's going on. And that was the one benign one that I had. So November 30th, I get all of those out. And then also what they have is after yesterday, when I got all this information, I then went to the genetic mutation doctor and pretty much I was like, they're like, you have option 1, option 2, option 3 of the testing you want to get. And I was like, I'll do testing 3. I want to know everything because once that comes back, because
wait,
it's
what's testing 3?
Testing 3 is like they test you for any form of genetic mutation that could lead to cancer, whether it's BRCA1, BRCA2, colon, anything.
Well, you know, I was told when I got melanoma that you are more susceptible to other types of cancers in your body. Like you're something like some high percentage, and I don't know if it's true, but like 50% chance higher of getting colon cancer or other types of cancer, which scares the bejesus out of me.
But that's why you should go in and get the full, like, well, the good news is you did do 23andMe, so you know a lot. But this is always a good thing to do in addition. And, you know, I'll know that information in a couple of weeks. And then we go from there because they just said, we have to watch you like a hawk because it's very, very rare to have so many melanomas in one location.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Do you like looking all over your body now every inch? Because a little white dot is like, I have 1,000 freckles on my body. So I'm always like.
No, the only thing I can think about, the only thing that's like bugging me right now so bad is not even that huge ass scar that I posted yesterday on my shoulder. It's this little tiny thing under my armpit that is like driving me nuts where they took the lymph nodes
out. The incision.
It's just like bugging me. I feel like area. I can't properly clean or shape. Like, ugh.
Oh, you smell.
Yeah, I'm not great. I'm not great. So to everyone I party with tonight in Vegas, mind the right armpit.
Just lots of perfume. lots of perfume.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What does optimism look like? I'm on a quest to find the people who inspire us to dream more and do more. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. I talk to all sorts of people, from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to a hairdresser on Instagram who gives out free haircuts to the homeless, from the CEOs of the world's largest companies to the comedy writer who visited the wreckage of the Titanic. I love talking to leaders, artists, authors, and eccentrics about life, leadership, purpose, mental fitness, human skills, high performance, and other curious things. It leaves me feeling wiser, more inspired, and, well, more optimistic. Because after all, this is a bit of optimism. The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look for it. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got to get into host chat questions. The first one is, have you guys ever gotten into a fight? Well, how would you answer that, Tam?
No, I mean, we got into disagreements about certain situations, but a fight, no.
Nothing that I ever thought we couldn't come back from.
Yeah.
Like everything. Like we've never.
I've texted you and you're like, are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? Call me, call me. And I'm the type, if I'm like annoyed, I won't call. Like I'm like, no
but I don't, I won't let that happen.
Then I know. Call her,
and I'm like, no. Because you, this is the thing with Tamara and I are like different type of arguers.
Yes.
She will blow like hard and like say something dramatic, but then she really will be over it in 10 minutes.
Yes.
But if you blow and you're dramatic with me, I will harbor onto it for weeks and months. And I'm like, no, we work together. So we're going to talk this through. And then within 2 minutes of talking to Tamara, you talk her off the ledge and she's like,
I'm fine.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, I guess I did say that. Oh, I guess this did happen. And it's like,
just wait till you see this season.
Is that exactly how it's going to play out?
Yes, from 0 to 100 like that. And then 2 minutes later, I'm fine.
Yeah, no, I was, the last time Tamara texted me mad, I was like, I'm going to go, like, she's about to really lose it on me. And then by the time I even got her on the phone, she's like, hey, I know. the next one is, would you guys ever go on vacation together? Of course.
Yes. I would go anywhere. Yes. I would love to.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone on like work trips that also turned into vacations together, but like with our husbands and stuff.
For sure.
That's where we have a lot in common.
Yeah. That's where you really get to know if you are compatible is when you travel with somebody. And we went to Napa and we shared a little bungalow with 2 bedrooms in it and hung out and laid in bed and watched TV. And we went to New York recently and hung out for 4 days. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I mean, we're easy travelers together because we're, as much as we can be high maintenance people, we're low maintenance travelers. Like, we're like, all right, let's go. We can get ready in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, people bug me. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, people bug me. Like, if I'm with somebody for too long and I have to hear them breathe, I'm like, oh God, my nerves.
I don't think I even bugged you all of New York.
No, you weren't gulping your coffee or slurping it or breathing too loud.
my God. Okay. So the next one is, do you think Rena was throwing Kyle under the bus with those envelopes?
Okay. I haven't fully read about these envelopes. She had receipts. I heard they're from the Elton John. And what was the other one?
Well, Andy said that they were about the Elton John thing, but then I think Rena did an Insta story and said they were proof about her text messages. I think about Kathy.
Didn't she post all those text messages?
No, not the ones between, she posted the ones between her and Erica. I guess These are the ones between her and her assistant and their best friend. So I guess those, I think she said something like it was 8 pages long and blah, blah, blah. I don't know who she'd be fully throwing under the bus in those 8 things of text messages because I have not seen them.
Is she now done with the trying to out Kathy? Is she done? Is she continuing?
I have no idea.
Social media.
I don't know. I think everybody is kind of in a weird position. I mean, even we saw those Garcelle interviews and I think it was Garcelle's even asked about Diana because Diana posted the thing about the bots that they found out who the bots was.
I saw that.
Like, I mean, essentially what she's saying is, Real Housewives of star Diana Jenkins has identified a person who may be responsible for cyberbullying Garcelle's 14-year-old son. Earlier today, a source close to Diana said that after reviewing data obtained under subpoena from Meta, Jenkins' attorney are zeroing in on a Northern California resident whose IP address and phone number were linked to the Instagram Queen of the Sea. Queen of the T underscore, which sent the, you know, offensive messages. Some records obtained from Meta were connected to overseas IP addresses, and Diana is absolutely thrilled with the news. Then you pan to Garcelle was on a red carpet. They asked her, you know, how do you feel about this recent news regarding Diana? And she's like, I've got my own people doing investigations.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, there you go.
I just feel like, are they ever really going to get to the bottom of this? Are we ever
at this point? Can we let it go?
can, I don't know. I mean, we read online that filming is not going to commence for Beverly Hills allegedly until January, which is a pretty big break, which means it could be a pretty big
shake-up. I think it's a cool-off time. They need to figure out what they're doing with the show, I'm sure. I'm just speculating. And I feel like it's time for the girls to just cool off. They need to cool off.
They kind of need to figure it out.
And they need to hire Teddy Joe and Cynthia Bailey.
My gosh. Well, you know, maybe I'll talk to Andy about it. I will be on Watch What Happens Live with my dad.
I am so excited about that.
On the 15th. I mean, I just really in my head, me trying to think about, I saw my dad yesterday, by the way. He's here because we're going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's inducting somebody because, you know, he's already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of talking to him about the show. And he's like, are they going to make me play any fucking games? I'm like,
probably.
He's like, I don't know. I don't know anyone's names. God damn it, Teddy. I'm like, listen, Dad, I just posted for you and the Scarecrow. I did a reel. It got 800 comments. Like,
oh, my God. But isn't he going on Watch What Happens Live to promote something he's doing?
He is, but because we're going together, somehow this has become my fault.
It's your fault. Okay.
Everything is always my
fault. So I'm assuming his publicist or somebody, manager, reached out and wanted, or they reached out and they...
No, I know. I think Watch What Happens Live always has reached out to him, but his stance has always been like he was not going to get involved. But I'm pretty sure this time he was just like, he called me. He's like, well, if I do it, would you do it? I was like, well, sure. We've never done a TV show. I mean, I interviewed him on Extra, but that's it. So I've never.
Do you think if you did go back to Beverly Hills that your dad would film with you? Because he didn't in the past, right?
I think a big reason why he didn't in the past is because it was when he was with Meg Ryan.
And she didn't want to, right?
And she's really private. So, I mean, he's private, but like I can kind of convince
him. So private, nobody's seen her in years.
but I know that she was always very like, I don't know what he would do, but the fact that he's going on Watch What Happens Live,
big step.
It's a pretty big step, for him, but yeah, that's kind of what's been going on. We just saw online that Bethany Frankel will be doing a podcast on housewife shows. That's also on a housewife headline.
I think it's recapping some like iconic moments on Housewives or just like going back in the past and pulling up little scenes and then like talking about them.
Yeah. And I think she talks about them, what her iconic moments or iconic scenes.
Is it just her iconic moments?
Well, I don't know. It says go to sleep on her thing, which is like her iconic moment. But I saw like one of her guests is Jerry Springer. So I think she's like bringing on people who didn't necessarily watch the show. And then she brought on the girl from Handmaid's Tale who's like, I did so much research for the show because I was nervous. You know, like, so I think it's kind of like a play on Watch What Happens Live, but her, you know, iconic moments that she's watched on the show.
Okay.
Or been a part of.
Well, good for her. Congratulations. She already has a podcast, right? So this will be her second one.
I think
she's still doing her other one.
Yeah, she's definitely still doing her TikToks where she does her makeup hauls, I think.
Yeah.
Where she tests all the makeup. But here's the thing. I do think Bethany Frankel's funny. So do I. I will give it a go.
Yep.
Next housewife headline, Tom Girardi was investigated for over 200 disciplinary matters before being disbarred. The State Bar of California has revealed that Tom Girardi, the estranged husband of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Eric Girardi, was investigated for more than 200 disciplinary matters prior to being officially disbarred in August 2021. According to an open letter from the agency, Tom was under investigation for allegations of client trust, account violations, misrepresentations to courts and clients, failure to communicate with clients, failure to perform other claims over the course of his legal career. Over the past 40 years, the State Bar opened 205 disciplinary matters about Girardi. Of the 205, approximately 120 involved allegations relating to client trust violations. Of these 205 disciplinary matters, the State Bar received 69 complaints on or after December 18, 2020, when a petition was filed to force Girardi's law firm into bankruptcy. Nearly 60 of those recent complaints alleged client trust account violations. The letter continued. The state bar noted that the handling of Tom's disbarment brought light to serious failures in the state bar's attorney discipline system, which have contributed to a lack of confidence in the state bar's ability to carry out core responsibility of protecting the public. There is no excuse being offered here. Girardi caused irreparable harm to hundreds of his clients, and the state bar could have done more to protect the republic.
Well, wow. Sounds like our legal system is a little corrupt, and it's all about who you know. It's to me, it's complete bullshit that all these complaints can be filed. And, you know, obviously somebody there knew him. I feel like people need to be fired.
I feel like a lot of big changes need to be made. The next housewife headlines is something we kind of already discussed, which is Garcelle saying, guys, it's been a hell of a season. I'm taking a mental break from it. When there's something important to talk about it, I'll talk about it.
Well, I got to believe that Bravo's like, you guys need to stop talking about this. Just let it die down for a couple months.
Well, speaking of let's stop talking about it, Lisa Barlow.
She's
on
too much.
Twitter.
She cracks me up. I'm sorry. I mean, to tweet.
I mean, we love her. So
I love her. I have never done a sexual favor for anything. I deserve presents for breathing.
And then,
oh my God.
Let's quote JB correctly. He said, stay the F away from me, you POS, because John Barlow doesn't need a fake account to defend his wife. Here's the thing. Regarding Angie's husband starting a fake account.
Bizarre.
Shaw exposed. I mean, and now there's a big opportunity for him. I feel like he's a 52-year-old man creating a Finsta to antagonize other housewives. But now he needs to create a new name. Obviously, these are not my words. I believe they were Jen Shaw. But it is an opportunity for a great Insta name, which is King Elf on a Shelf Husband Insta. Because that's what they Jen called Shaw. Him.
Oh, I mean, first of all, it's a douchey thing to do. 1,000% a douchey thing. Could you imagine our husbands creating a fake Instagram to go after castmates?
I
Eddie
can't
would
imagine.
Rather poke
My
pins
husband,
in his eyeballs.
Our husbands, like on their own Instagram, can barely do it properly.
Right.
Let alone go trolling other people. But why we're here, and I know we'll get into it more in the episode, it almost felt like to me, Meredith knew walking into that dinner that that happened because she didn't even seem shocked.
No expression whatsoever. Just like, oh. And I believe that he outed himself because it was about to come out.
Oh, for sure he outed himself because it was about to come out. I mean, because I will say, I think it, with a branding, you know, thinking of branding, it would do well.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I mean, we're coming upon the holiday seasons.
It is. And you know what? I get really pissed at Elf on a Shelf too. They're actually kind of life ruiners because if you forget one night, your kids hate you.
Oh, I'm
not
so...
you. They hate Santa or the elf or whoever it is.
Thank God I am over that. I pass it on. I gave it to Ryan to use with Ava. So
like the amount of stress, because especially now that my kids stay up a little bit later, I have to like set an alarm, go. And then there's the moms that really freaking bug. And sorry if you're one of them that like, do these over the top things, like put them on the toilet with like dyes
with props
and like stop it.
Yes.
I'm like, I will move it from if you the top do it, of the fridge.
Do
to, like,
not post it. Do like, not mom shame me with your post about how fabulous your Elf on the Shelf and how creative you are.
You know what? But while we're on the topic, send in suggestions of easy places that seem amazing, like you've really gone over the top for your Elf of Shelf placements this year. Because you know what? Christmas is already around the corner and I'm stressing out.
Can you believe that?
The stress. Let's take a little break and then we'll come right back to discuss the show.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all.
For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian premium cocktail maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we are back, and it starts out with Heather deciding to form her own choir, which, like,
really, I just like, want to do this because I got nothing else to do on TV.
Like, is this a sister wives act? Like, what is happening? And then I one of my favorite parts of church is going and the worship portion of it.
Right.
And music and singing along and that feeling you get inside. However, watching Whitney and Angie, whatever Angie it is, H or whatever, doing a dance in a flapper dress isn't really what I think would move me and my relationship with God.
Yes. I know. It does kind of feel like a sister act.
But what about
Whoopi Goldberg to jump out and start dancing?
What about Lisa Barlow practicing her singing?
I thought it was cute. I thought she was good. No. But
her husband's like, no.
Nope.
Definitely
she's like,
off.
She's like, pitch is off. He's like, not good. I thought it was actually pretty good. You know who else surprised me was Jen Shah.
I couldn't really, she was so loud when she came in and she had all those props. I had a hard time focusing.
I feel like she's got a good voice.
Yeah, she probably does, because even that she could emote to that level.
Yeah,
I mean, she probably.
I mean, I could, but it just wouldn't sound very good.
Let's hear one line.
What for high?
No, high, what song is high?
What do you mean, like a note, like?
That wasn't that bad.
It's better horrible. Than mine.
You'd be like, oh.
Oh my god, you're an alto. Is that what it's called?
I would be an alto.
Alto.
And me and soprano? Meredith Brooks would be an alto.
Do,
do, do,
do. Do re mi fa sol la ti do. Okay,
we should start our own band.
Jen has a date with Coach Shaw at a trampoline park. She thanks him for helping her find the positive things in every day. And then she brings up the account Shaw exposed that comments negatively about her and Lisa online. Lisa told her that Angie Harrington's husband set up the account.
Well, first of all, they've been doing a lot of scenes together,
mm-hmm.
which is really cute. When somebody goes to trampoline park, all I can think about is peeing my pants every time I see it. And I'm like,
No. All I can think about is, how the heck did Angie not get a snowflake when her husband did all this work?
Maybe he should get a snowflake.
Like, Angie, last year we barely saw you. Now you're back again. Your husband's created a fence to you're up now essentially part of every storyline.
She's been lots of confessionals we've been seeing of her suddenly. And do you think it looks like she's trying a little too hard?
I just think that the other women almost may be cock blocking it, you know, like by Lisa Barlow not even giving her the time of day to speak to her, by Meredith not even engaging in the conversation of Shaw exposed. Like, there's nowhere really for her to break in.
Oh, you're saying, like, you know, in housewife world, if you just ice somebody out and nobody pays attention to them, their future on the show is not very bright.
Yeah. Like, if we go back to like Peggy Sahulian or whatever her name is.
Sahulian, like, the 100th housewife.
You guys just never talk to her, really.
No, there was like so nothing in common situation. Yes, I'm sure she's like, a very nice woman, but it just, there was nothing there.
Yeah. And you saw it on Beverly Hills too. You see it on every franchise.
But they know her. She's been around for a while. So the fact that you think they're icing her out means they don't really want her on the show.
Well, probably because she plays dirty. I mean, her husband creates finstas.
Well, that's not going to get her very far.
Well, I mean, I feel like there isn't one of them on Salt Lake, as much as I love some of them, that doesn't play dirty. I think.
Do you like your housewives playing dirty? As a viewer,
I like my housewives playing dirty, as long as I feel like within the playing dirty, there are real friendships and actual fun happening
And it's not going after children and things like that.
Yeah. Like, I think that playing dirty, it is what it is. But I do think the thing I dislike the most is friendships that aren't feeling as well formed, and I don't know. Yeah. Like, even watching Whitney and Lisa Barlow doing yoga together, like, you can tell they're still trying to forge this alliance,
right,
friendship.
Right, right.
Like, it doesn't. Same with Meredith and Jen Chow.
I think I spotted a few fake designer pieces on the show today.
Speaking of, is yours on your head real or fake?
It's real.
Oh.
Of course it's real.
How's your flex? What? Your Gucci flex.
My Gucci flex? This is my camping beanie. By the way, because it gets cold at night. I don't normally
relatable
wearing a beanie. But by the way, it was so cold last night. We went to a wedding. It was right on the ocean. It must have been 40 degrees. I was frozen all night. Slept with the window open. So cold. I was dying for it to stop being hot and be cold. Now I'm like, I can't take the cold. It was freezing. So plus I didn't want to do my hair. So
then Justin tells Whitney that he has been bombarded by his coworkers asking why he got fired. He was told that it was because Whitney was being a public figure. They didn't see how it would continue to work. He actually cries here. But
was that in real time? Do you think?
I think it must have been in real time. It felt real, but like, if Justin was fired over that sexy paint scene, so should the editor who keeps subjecting us to watch it
again. By the way, what company did Justin work for? Was he working for, was it a direct sales company or something like that?
I don't fully understand what he did, but what Whitney made it seem like he was the best, like he was great. Everybody loved him. He truly seemed emotional about it.
Well, he just lost his job. Like, that's tough. But especially like coming out of COVID, or I mean, at the time they were still really heavily into it. Like,
I'm wondering if it was an LDS company.
That's what I was wondering too, because you got to know if you're representing a company like that, that's not going to fly.
Yeah. So we're just going to have to, I mean, I hopefully he was such a nice guy. I really liked him.
Yeah. You know. I adore both of them after meeting them, hanging out with them a little bit at BravoCon.
I mean, too.
I'm assuming he's moved on, got a better job and everything's healed, but you broke our heart, Justin.
We were sad in that moment. But then Heather working on writing a book, but her agent says she keeps missing all of her deadlines. Like, I don't care. Don't care.
Don't. Yeah, I don't care. And one more housewife writing a book. I've been asked to write a book. I'm like, guys, I barely know the English language. You want me to write a book? No.
Oh, by the way, the company that Justin worked for, according to his LinkedIn page, he worked as chief sales officer and chief sales and marketing officer at Life Vantage Corporation for almost 7 years. According to online reports, it is not an LDS company.
What is Life Vantage?
I don't know.
I'm going to look it up. Life Vantage?
V-A-N-T-A-G-E. Maybe they did this because they want some, it's a supplement company.
Life Vantage.
Well, I bet he'll find another job.
Oh, it is it's a multi-level marketing.
Oh, it is.
It looks like it.
All right. Well, let's keep on moving right there.
Which you can make millions of dollars doing that.
Yeah. Then they get into talking about Lisa tweeted Heather's dad's obituary to prove how great of a friend she is, since Lisa texted Heather hoping her dad would get better. Heather says for Lisa to prove she is always right, she makes her lose faith in any hope to have a friendship. She thinks Lisa Barlow only cares about Lisa Barlow.
Well, Teddy would have done that. Teddy does not like to be wrong.
I don't think I would post about somebody's death.
Well, here's the thing.
I think that's where I draw the line.
She lied at the reunion.
Remind me what happened there.
I think she lied and said that Heather said Lisa sent her a text saying, I hope your dad's okay. And she's like, my dad has passed. And her dad had not passed is how I thought it went down. And so even if she did, even if her dad had passed and Lisa was reaching out and saying, how's your dad? Is that bad? No, she obviously didn't know that her dad passed. Like, she's checking up on her. And then for her to toss her under the bus and say, like, he had already passed. Like, I don't know. She thought that was insensitive. I didn't think anything was bad.
I mean, what you're saying is correct.
It is correct.
The part that I didn't particularly love, which is to post proof when it comes to somebody's death. I didn't. Well,
some people in the universe to be right.
I love to be right more than anything. I don't know. We'll see. Well, you know, hopefully it doesn't come down to this for me having to prove, you know, something like that. But
yeah, maybe a little insensitive. Maybe not have posted the obituary, but maybe you could have. Lisa could have tweeted something to prove her point.
There was a different way she could have done it.
She admitted that.
Yeah, she may have, you know, a little bit of impulsive situation. Yeah. Then Angie feels her and Meredith are trauma bonded since they went through a friendship breakup with Lisa and it brought them closer. Angie goes to dinner with Meredith and tells her that she and Whitney have discussed rumors in private about Lisa and thinks they interpret things differently. Angie thinks she brought up to Whitney how the man invested in Vita but never said for sexual favors. Angie tells Meredith that her husband Chris was frustrated because he felt like Angie was getting attacked in the media and a lot of it felt like it was coming from Lisa. Chris says, as a 52-year-old man, he created a fake account and says there's no manual on how to defend your wife on social media.
Okay, first of all, I don't think they're trauma bonded. They're two girls that are pissed off with another castmate, so they're coming together. You know, that happens.
That entire scene felt so weird to me.
Staged.
staged. Like even Seth, who like always has something to say, even scenes for next week when Seth's in the bathtub with Meredith and he's like, get your thumb out of my taint. Like he's never at a loss of words and he couldn't come up with anything.
Another bathtub scene?
Yes. Make it stop. And okay. Also, I don't want to hear about someone's
I'm such toe. A trendsetter.
I don't want to hear about someone's toe near someone's taint.
I hate the word PSA. Taint.
I hate the word taint. I also hate the word moist. I'm going to put a list of words to not
use. And triggered. I hate the word triggered.
There's so many, just, you know, whatever. So it's called Shaw X Exposed. He said it was available, so he took the name, but now he's exposing everybody. Is what it is. Then Heather and a panel of judges at her choir audition. Jeff McLean is the son of Michael McLean, a famous Mormon songwriter. James is her friend who is a singer-songwriter, and Paisley was a finalist for American Idol. Jen gets upset when she sees Angie there and says the last thing she expected was to see Angie after her conversation with Heather. That should be the first thing that you expect.
Yeah.
If you've talked badly about someone, you should and you're on a television show, you should expect to see them right away.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is Heather still Mormon?
No, that's why it's, well, yes. I don't think she's taken her name out of the book.
She's still in the book. She's just not going to
by
the Mormon.
All the rules.
Okay, so, like, so I'm just wondering why Jeff, what's his name? Jeff, the son mm-hmm. of Michael McLean, the famous Mormon songwriter, why he was there.
Because I think she's, I mean, her book's called Bad Mormon. So I think.
Okay. I think so it's not like still, ex-Mormon. So she's still a Mormon. She's just a bad one.
I guess we have to read her book. This is a plug. Go read Heather's book. I think she also said she has a podcast where you could probably learn more about that as well. These are things we just do not know. Some fan thoughts are, oh goodness. Well, hold on. Before we get to the fan thoughts, here is some of the social media from the show. Shaw Exposed on Instagram wrote, seems what Lisa did to a friend of 25 years was much worse than slap Angie. Influenced the cancellation of the caterer, tried to cancel the charity from participating through Jen, lies and continues to lie, puts her on blast through trolls like you. What is it like being in the 3% of people who believe her shit? Tweets about Lisa from Heather lying when Lisa tried to reach out to her. Whether or not it's true, it seemed like the type that you cannot see past your own nose. Just saying, girl, how are you coming off? You're a bitch. Like, it's just stop.
I don't want to see this on social media. I really don't. I don't.
And
this is like Beverly Hills. What happened with them? It's like, just stop being so freaking nasty on social media.
Oh, this thought was funny. Why was Justin fired, but Seth can lick a boob cake and still remain employed?
Well, I think it really comes down to what their job is and how conservative that. And plus, excuse me, what Justin and Whitney did was a little bit more risque.
I agree. But my question is, I do think we are going to see the other Angie. I feel like in the scenes for next week, she's starting to come through a little bit, right?
Okay. Can't wait.
But do you think that Angie H is thirsty, or that was like her husband, or what do you think is the sitch?
She's coming off a little thirsty to me. I'm not gonna
lie. Thirsty as Jill Zarin.
Nobody's as thirsty as that woman. I'm gonna double down on this one.
Oh my gosh. All right, well, Tam, we are out of time for today. We only have one. Do you know what it's like to not have to recap Real Housewives of Beverly Hills right now?
You got to be just dancing. It's got to be a good feeling.
You know what? It's a good feeling until Orange County comes on, and then I have to start recapping your shit.
And I will be nowhere to be found. I'll be in the fetal position somewhere in this house saying, why did I go back?
And then I'm going to have to be getting your text messages. Then we will start fighting, guys, just so you know. But then here's the thing. She'll ignore me, but then I'll win her back over.
You're right. And now I have more time to concentrate on our newest Vena product. It's going to be, you know, for people that don't drink, it's going to be a liquid THC drink. Like,
like a little party.
We're doing a couple different versions, testing them out right now. One is going to be like a 5-hour energy shot, but you just drink it, you know, but it's not for energy. It's for just people that don't drink.
That's pretty great.
A little buzz, and yeah.
Yeah, it gives you a little fun, a little party, and then no hangover, right?
Right. And no extra calories that I've put on since I started filming.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love you, Tam.
I love you. Are you taking off now?
Yep. I'm getting glammed, and then I fly to Vegas.
And then when do you come home?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, so it's quick. I wish I could go.
I know. So I come back tomorrow morning because I have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tomorrow night.
But I'll be out slicing bitches tonight. So,
well, I can't wait to hear all about it. And then I won't be able to share with you guys until I'm actually watching the show play out and whatever happens, because we know Tam's side ain't the only side.
That's right. That's right. There's multiple sides.
There's multiple sides to every story. Well, thanks you guys for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week. The new Star series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galantine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Critics say you won't be able to tear your eyes away. Now, that is a good series, if that's the case.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.